52 degrees, best 5 minutes of the day. Jason Cans from jasoncans.com, author of the soon-to-be-released Letters to the Beloved, October 25th. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, our question of the morning is for people, are you an early bird or a night owl? I know what you are.
I'm for sure an early bird, yes. I don't think ever in my life I have been a night owl.
Mm-hmm.
I love being up early in the morning. The house is quiet. The neighborhood is relatively quiet at that time of the day. And that's just when I function best. But usually by the time 8 p.m. rolls around, I'm shot for the day and ready to go to bed.
Yeah. So here's my case on that. I mean, I would say that, too. I've liked being a part of early morning radio since way back 1988. I was first news director and doing the early mornings here, and I like that. Now, last night, though, I went to bed as early. I mean, 7:50, I was in bed, and they had a little bit of a delay, a lightning delay on the Monday Night Football. I was listening on the radio, and I'm like, 7:50, I'm like, lights out. And I set my alarm for 3:20 this morning, 7.5 hours. And here's the deal. Like, if you are a night owl, there's Ben Franklin famously said, right, the early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. There's another saying that says the early bird gets the worm. On the night owl side, the saying that comes to mind is nothing good happens after midnight. So it just seems to me like the way to go is the early to bed, early to rise.
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting myth that we've come to believe. And I think probably when we had an agricultural society, that was true. I wonder now.
What's the myth? What's the myth?
Well, that the people who are morning people are functioning better than those who function, you know, who wake up later and stay up later. You know, I think that if you...
Oh, so the early bird, about the idea about early to bed, early to rise makes you healthy, wealthy, and wise?
Right.
You're disputing that?
Well, I'm saying I think that it could be short-sighted because I think, you know, some people, you know, maybe they go to bed at 2 a.m. and they get up at 10 a.m., but they still live a functional life. They work. They do all of those things. You know, really the importance is getting a sufficient amount of sleep and meeting our responsibilities and requirements.
You're not dancing with me well this morning. Here I was laying this great case that It makes it good to, we both are early to bed people, and I had the sayings in place and everything, and you're saying, but. So, okay, that's fine.
Well, I'm happy to be an early bird. I am.
And,
I guess what I don't want us to do is shame those people who are not, right? You know?
Clearly, I'm not pro shame, but I would say that what I, and let's just delve a little bit more and we'll push off our first Peter 2 talk to tomorrow. Is the idea, I think, in terms of self-care, and that's what I want to just elaborate on, is that I think I so often try to just like, oh, I can do that. And the older you get, you know, there's a little more challenges. And I think that doing a couple of jobs, and I'm not as specific, it seems like you're really locked into that bedtime. Mine can kind of fluctuate. And I just say, hey, I can live on less sleep when I tell my wife, like, she's like, 6 hours is not enough, you know? And so I'm like, I think I can get by on it. But I think I did something, and I don't do this a lot. And that's why I just want to kind of celebrate. Like, 7:50 bedtime, I'm like, I did some self-care. And
yeah, for sure.
And I think that sleep is, you know, the Apostle Paul and I are going to have a word in heaven because I'm like, I don't know that you heard the Spirit right on that whole, if I got food and clothing, I'll be content. Like, a good night's sleep, that could have been in Scripture, you know?
Yeah. Right. You know, I think we've talked about that.
We have.
That Irish proverb, the good sleep and a good laugh are a cure for many ills.
Ah, that's so good. Yeah.
You know, and,
yes.
But I think you're right. And I think self-care is really what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much of that. For me, if I stay up until 11, I'm shot the next day. So for me, it's my body runs on that schedule where I go to bed earlier.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of sets. Go ahead.
I was going to say, whereas my wife can stay up much later and then wakes up later in the day and functions better that way. So
right. And I mean, in the In the recovery community, I mean, there's this acronym. I think it's pretty well known. HALT, right? Hungry, angry, lonely, yep. Tired. I mean, you're more susceptible to a worse self and bad choices and probably yielding to temptation in Christian vernacular if you are. And I think, I've found the lonely and tired particularly. And so it's like, well, take care of that, right? Yeah. And so just be wise about that. So,
absolutely. I think that's true.
All right. Well, tomorrow we'll try to dive into 1 Peter chapter 2, love and holiness, and see what Letters to the Beloved has to say about some things. Thank you.
Sounds wonderful.
Our friend Jason Cairns, WWIB. Susan back behind the microphone, settling in at 16 before 7, 52 degrees. Good morning.
Settling in. Uh-huh. Good morning. Hi, everybody. So good to be here. Thanks for listening.
I had a 7:50 bedtime last night, so I am doing some self-care and...
Just, I like it.
Everything works better. Like, if I want time for a quiet time with an early morning job, I need to get to bed so I can get up and have a little room there. And it's just
right.
And it all affects, you know, it's just, it's like a game of dominoes.
It is, because then you hear from the Lord and then you bless us and you're kind to me and patient. I love it. It's all about me. Thanks for going to bed early so you can be nice to me.
And the listeners now are going to think, oh, so sometimes Mark isn't kind to her. Yeah.
You're always nice. Karen, always kind.
Karen in Ladysmith says she's an early, so we're asking the listeners, are you more of an early bird?
Yeah, I heard that.
And I may have done this recently, but I'm allowing kind of my diminished short-term memory at 57 to just kind of prevail. She says early bird. She says, I enjoy you and Jason Cairns. Thank you for that. That's 5:45 in the morning.
Me too.
Thank you. And also, Cliff in Spooner says Rattle was rattling around in his mind when he woke up this morning.
Nice. I love that song.
Even before he heard it, and then he heard it, and now.
This is the sound of dry bones rattling.
Absolutely.
It's perfect for the morning.
That is huge in your house, the Jacoby house.
Yeah, it is. All right. What noun do you really, really want? What person? What place? What thing? Person, are you praying for a husband? Are you praying for a wife? Do you want a grandchild? Place, do you want to live somewhere better? Are you hoping for a house? Thing, are you praying for the salvation of your children? The salvation of your spouse? All these things can fill our hearts. And what do? We have, if we could do it ourselves, we would do it ourselves. But we get to the point where we have to put it in God's hands. The other day I was reading in Exodus about the edict that said every Hebrew baby had to be thrown in the Nile, according to Pharaoh. And baby Moses was born. His mother wanted to keep that baby, but she knew it was so risky. She put him in a basket, sent him down the river. Moses' sister followed that basket and saw that Pharaoh's daughter picked up that baby. And that smart little girl said, would you like me to find a Hebrew woman to nurse that? Yes, I would. So she was able to get her brother back to her mother, where Moses was actually raised in his home. I was thinking, what a great testimony. If there was a chicken soup for the Hebrew soul, that story would be in it.
Yeah.
But what about all those other women who had babies? What about those women who heard that story and quickly rushed to have their basket and their baby and sent it down the river and really just had to, in faith, hope that God would be good? Maybe you're that person. Maybe you're somebody who's like, I don't know. I don't know where this dream is going. I just know that I have to trust God with it. And what I want to tell you, sorry, I'm getting... He can be trusted. And we may never find out where that dream goes. But we know that he is faithful. And we know that God loved every baby. That was, his eye was on every baby. So now it's time for my co-host to step in, because I had no idea I was going to get this upset. But you guys, I have stuff in my life that I really, I'm really praying that God takes and does turn into a Moses story. And now I'm at the point where I'm just praying, I don't care if I even know it, just do it. And he's given me assurance that he will.
I mean, I think of that song, J.J. Heller's song, Who You Are. And it says, when I don't know what you're doing, I know who you are. And that's what so many of our troubles and trials in life come down to when we trust in Jesus is, can he be trusted?
Yeah.
And when you look at Job, it says, though he slay me,
yeah,
yet will I trust him.
Yeah.
If your hope is in him, that's where you run. That's where you run. And sometimes, we've heard so many times, this ain't heaven, right? And this side of heaven, sometimes,
no.
Sometimes we don't see the deliverance, but our deliverer is strong,
mm-hmm.
and his eye is on the sparrow, and we know he watches us.
That's right. And honestly, my nightmare in working in Christian radio is that I would become Tammy Faye Baker with mascara running down my cheeks. And that has happened, you guys. It happened today.
But it's radio.
But I survived it. So anyway, I didn't mean to get too emotional, but I do want to encourage you to know that you might not have assurance, but the God who rescued Moses is the God that's in charge of your dream, the noun that you want, the person, the place, the thing that you dearly hope for. Just surrender it, and he will do amazing things.
Well, a bunch of songs come to mind, but the one I guess that Caleb just referenced there, let's take that one to the weather. J.J. Heller, who you are, WWIB. Thanks, Susan, for your realness. And sharing with us here on the Whip Waco Show.
It is October Connect Month. Tomorrow is Partner Pledge Day, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., where we're asking you to jump into the pool with us and show your support by making a pledge. You don't have to make a gift that day, but just say, hey, by the end of the year, I will give $103.70 to match our main frequency at 103.7. I will give that to help support and sponsor and sustain the programs that WWIB airs, thanks to WIB Incorporated, that separate nonprofit entity. And so tomorrow is when we're going to be looking for 100 of you to be those partner pledges. And so our friend Elizabeth from Chippewa Falls said, can I jump in? Can I cut the line just a little bit, which we encourage and say, I'd like to be the first. I'd like to be the first one and demonstrate my commitment to say, hey, you're going to start off instead of at zero, you're going to start off at one tomorrow morning at 5:30 when Havel kicks things off on the WIB Wake Up Show for Partner Pledge Day. And she said, beyond that, beyond just making that pledge partner commitment, could I share about what the station has meant in my life, which not only counts as an October Connect, but also I think is going to be a big encouragement to others as well, too. And we want Elizabeth to just be the first of many. We would love to hear from you today and throughout this month at 715-396-1670, where she left this voicemail on the listener line. We'd love to hear, how has this station been used in your life? Not tell us how great we are, but tell us how great God is through
right.
using this parachurch organization to bless you and drive you to him and his word.
Hi, this is Elizabeth, and I just wanted to call this morning and pledge the 103.7 for Pledge Month. And I just wanted to share a little bit about what WWIB has meant to me. I don't know if very often you can call a radio station a friend, but sorry, I'm going to get choked up. That's what WWIB has become for me. It has been such a huge part of my faith journey since way back. I just think of all the times being known as Elizabeth the Prayer Warrior when the monikers were used, sharing my very difficult testimony on Front Page with Mark, calling up Mabel Louise when I just felt like I needed some wonderful wisdom and discernment and advice, even though I had never met her. And she took the time and talked with me and gave me exactly what I needed to hear. Thinking back to my grandson shooting hoops at the radio station, just so many miles that I put on my car with work, and the radio station has been just such a faith uplifter. Thinking of Susan sharing her heart today and just wanting to give encouragement, had a 16 or even maybe many more years than that prayer, and how God has been faithful and redeemed that relationship with immeasurably more than I could ever have imagined. And so I just want to reach out to the listeners and give encouragement. And I'm just so thankful that WWIB is there for our area and our listening audience. I love you guys.
Mm.
All right. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Wow. That was so good. So
Aww.
Rich.
Thank you,
Elizabeth. Yes, Elizabeth, the prayer warrior. I remember her joining me on Front Page. And boy, there's so many good lines in there. We'll for sure use that again tomorrow. But I mean, kind of getting us ready, and why not?
She just made my day.
Yeah.
And what thank you, Elizabeth.
And I'd say, too, our Whip family, what would you add to that? Can you springboard off that and leave a message as well? Because this, I'm sure, not only encourages us, which we truly appreciate, but encourages others as well. And,
yeah.
And so that listener line at 715-396-1670, absolutely open for your voicemails during October Connect Month or anytime. We'd love to hear if God is doing something through this ministry. We'd love to hear about it so he gets the glory.
You're not alone, Elizabeth, when you say, you know, I don't know how often that maybe a radio station can be called a friend. But I think a lot of us, even who work here, have that same association as listeners to WWIB. There's a brand new documentary that's been released just over the weekend called The Jesus Music. Here's a little bit from the trailer, and we're going to talk ourselves here for a couple of moments about how we've been impacted by CCM.
I've never shared this with anybody.
To see the richness of hope land upon someone's spirit via rhythm, rhyme, and melody. Sound. I don't understand it. But a lot of hymns are close your eyes singing to God. I wanted to sing with my eyes wide open, singing to each other.
This thing, Jesus music, found its way in my hometown, and it changed my life. When it comes to music and how we can express ourselves, we don't have to do it the way it was done before.
You want to find a loving way to have these conversations.
My generation had seen all of the civil unrest. Most of us were trying to escape the pain and the misery.
Where do we go from here?
You feel like something's in the wind.
This soundtrack emerges.
No, so it looks fantastic, and it is the Jesus music. And again, it hasn't been in the Chippewa Valley yet. Hopefully, it will get here. But it did pretty well at the box office in a limited release over the weekend, so I was glad to hear that. And so I just wondered amongst us in terms of how have you guys, when so you hear Michael W. Smith, there's a great line where he's just like, contemporary Christian music came to my town and it changed my life, you know, so...
Yeah, I mean, and I've spoken before about how growing up in Rice Lake, I mean, WWIB was my station. You know, that's what was on fairly often in the car. And cassette tapes, I mean, I remember cassette tapes of Twyla Paris was my mom's favorite. And so a lot of those coming up and all sorts of Christian music. But just some of that contemporary Christian music, you know, Michael W. Smith and Stephen Curtis Chapman and Chris Rice from winning that CD. My sister won that CD from WWIB and some of those songs. I mean, we would put it on the old stereo system and Saddle Up Your Horses, Stephen Curtis Chapman, The Great Adventure. I mean, we would just blare that thing and kind of dance around in the kitchen and dining room. And so those are some of my earliest memories of Christian music, that it was kind of always present. Never thought that it would become, in essence, a career for me, but its impact was there throughout my life, especially the early years.
Susan, how about you?
Well, I didn't know it existed until I was in 7th, 8th grade, and we moved up here from Milwaukee, and my sister bought the record from Keith Green, So You Want to Go Back to Egypt, and it was a revelation to me that there were these really cool songs that weren't about a boy and a girl and love and Won't You Take Me to Funky Town. And now what I love about it is, well, like John Fields would agree with me, when you come across a song that says, you know, from Phillips Craig and Dean, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. Uh-huh. You can learn scripture, and having that running through your mind during the day and God's truth running through your mind rather than she left me, it's over, but I'm going to get someone new. You know what I mean? Now, there's a lot of great secular music, and I listen to most of it, but there is nothing like CCM. And it started, and it's a gift to our world. It really is.
I am so grateful for it as well. Went to, as a kid growing up in Milwaukee in the 70s, a lot of secular concerts, be it, I mean, the Eagles, Pablo Cruz, maybe Steve Miller at the old Milwaukee County Stadium. Mm-hmm. I remember Summerfest, Bad Company,
Journey.
Bruce Springsteen, my senior year, etc. But I think maybe what illustrates it is, you know, from John Cougar, Jack and Diane, a memorable lyric, which is, life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone, to the late 80s, helping to MC Stephen Curtis Chapman at Eau Claire Memorial High School, the More to This Life tour.
Right.
And I'm like, it's not the emptiness that can so often be there without Christ, but it's the new creation you can be in Christ. And so, yeah, I found it at two, I think, here. It's Keith Green or some of the various artists. And so grateful for WIB being here. I can think of some low moments. I came to faith in 83 in terms of owning it myself.
Right.
But then my parents got divorced right away. And coming back to school, I was living with other guys who didn't get saved. And I didn't have a tutorial on how do you do that? You're a young believer. Your parents just got divorced. And you're in a house that they want to have all the house parties you were having last year. And so there are a lot of challenges. And so I've been grateful for WWIB since before I worked here and for CCM, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that's such a big part. And so I love the tune you referenced, Caleb, because kind of as we walked out and got married for Peggy and I, this was a theme we intended. Never knowing God, you never know where he's going to lead you in this great adventure of his grace, right? So here we go.